Let us turn to the Word of God, to the book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1. And we shall read from verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now to the second chapter. Same book, the second chapter of the book of Job, and we read from verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. May God bless to us that reading of Holy Scripture. Our subject at present on Lord's Day evenings is that of Satan, the great adversary, or the biblical doctrine of the devil. So far in this series, we have seen the origin of Satan. He was a created cherub, a spirit being of exceeding high rank. With him, sin originated in the heavens, causing him to be immediately cast out, together with a great number of angels, who also kept not their first estate. This once celestial prince is now known, among other names, as the prince of the power of the air. And it is in this region of Earth's atmosphere that this spirit being now lurks. Having been cast down into the vicinity of Earth, and knowing that a couple had been created in the image of God, to multiply and to populate this planet and to have dominion over it to the glory of God, this deceitful, power-craving, fallen spirit enters Eden in order to approach the fountainheads of humanity with a view to gaining their allegiance and so to propagate his sin in the hearts of the human race. And in this he succeeded, and so gained for himself the title of the God of this world. And so we have seen thus far the origin of evil in the heavens through the anointed cherub, his immediate dismissal, then his entry into the garden of God with the subsequent fall of man. We shall go further into this most enlightening subject, and we are now to learn of his ceaseless activity in the world in which we live. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, in verse 9, the devil or Satan is spoken of as the one who deceives the whole world. The one who deceives the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 also states, "The God of this world, that is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." He deceives the whole world. He's blinded the minds of all those who believe not. Hence, the scriptures which we read from the book of Job this evening are very, very enlightening. In verse 7 of chapter 1, we read, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." That's where he came from. He has access into the heavens still. There he enters as the accuser of the brethren from time to time. Part of the mediatorial work of Christ is taken up with our protection there and our justification. So on this occasion, he appears before the God of heaven. Jehovah says to him, "From whence comest thou, Satan?" "From walking to and fro in the earth," he says. "Going up and down in it." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13 is also a most startling statement. "To the believers at Pergamos, the great head of the church said this," Revelation 2:13, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." Where Satan's seat is, where he dwelleth. Ah, beloved, I say again, Satan is no myth. These scriptures clearly and solemnly inform us that he not only gained entry into the garden of God at the first, but he has firmly established himself throughout the whole world. Let's make no mistake about this. He has firmly established himself throughout the whole world. There is not an acre of territory on this planet where he is not present with his lying deception. He walks to and fro in the earth. Just as Job stated, he is the God of this world. He has so deceived and blinded the human race that apart from the remnant of grace, he has humanity at his feet. Now grasp those words. He has so deceived and blinded the human race that apart from the remnant of grace, he has humanity at his feet. And we, as the Lord's redeemed, are right in the midst of this situation. We are where Satan's seat is, where he dwelleth, where his ceaseless activity of deception is carried on. Oh, it's little wonder that our blessed Lord showed such concern for his own in that mediatorial prayer which is before us Lord's Day mornings. They are in the world, he says. He's praying to his Father on behalf of you and I. They're in the world. They are where Satan dwelleth. And he's ever going to and fro in the earth. My people are in constant danger, is the inference of Christ's words. So he prays with great intensity, Father, keep them. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. The 11th verse of John 17. Oh, that we could enter more fully into that appreciation which the Lord had of the devil. We shouldn't talk so lightly. If we could enter more and into a deeper appreciation of the devil and his tremendous power and influence, the man or the woman who thinks that a detailed study of the biblical doctrine of Satan is unnecessary is living the life of a complacent fool. And I say that unapologetically. The scriptures state that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And to live in ignorance of the devil is no less foolish. Indeed, such a person has been successfully blinded by the very one whom we are considering and is in a very, very sad spiritual state. Satan is a mighty being, friends, a being of unimaginable power, and we live in a world in which he operates with untiring passion. Yes, passion. A writer of this century produced a work on philosophy in which he stated that no person today believes in a system which gives any place to the diabolus of the Bible. No person would give any credence, no intelligent person would give any credence to such a belief. Such is the foolhardy theories of men. I quite believe that this is the case. People do not believe in a personal devil. And there are many Christians who would affirm this in an affirmation of faith, but they have very little comprehension of the subtlety of the devil, or that he is the arch enemy. As I said in an earlier study, there is great play and great emphasis placed upon the evil heart, which is within man, and of the world, but primarily our enemy is the devil. I say that, I emphasize it, primarily our enemy is the devil. And the fact that men do not believe, the fact that it is played down even by Christians in some circles and by some people, does not alter the fact. What of it? Men can say what they like. It does not alter the fact. And it is only divine revelation which can give us the information on this subject which we need. And divine revelation does give us the information. And in the revelation which is given to us, we see the absolute honesty of Holy Scripture. The absolute honesty of Holy Scripture. There is no camouflage. Even though the facts which are stated oft times in Scripture appear on the surface even to dishonor God, who is the author of the book. A purely human hand would never have drawn aside the veil in such detail. A skeleton of this nature would have been securely hidden in the cupboard. However, the scriptures do reveal, and the scriptures reveal Satan's origin, as we have seen in an earlier section. His successful entry into the world, his ongoing activity as the invisible prince, wielding tremendous power and influence in this world. His bounds, of course, are marked by the will of God, as we have seen from the scripture in Job. For although the Bible presents Satan as mighty, and it does, he is never presented as almighty. The scriptures in the early chapters of Job are classic in this. God asks Satan from whence he cometh. His answer was from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. In a world which God created and created perfect. Now, to the unenlightened, to the natural man, this would appear to dishonor God. Why does God allow it? If he's sovereign, annihilate him. But no. Here he is honestly described by God himself in the Holy Scriptures, going up and down. This is what Satan said, and the Almighty didn't hide it. He didn't obliterate it. He didn't cause it not to be written. And so is the devil pictured as keeping a vigilant eye upon this earth where he has such a foothold. He's presented to us in this way. He's got a vigilant eye upon this earth and all that is in the earth where he has such a foothold. The Almighty draws attention to the devil. Or rather, he draws the attention of the devil to Job. When Satan is there in the presence of God, God draws attention. He draws his attention to this man Job in verse 8 of chapter 1. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Ah, yes, says the devil. I know that man Job all right. And so he did. He knows all men. He knows all women, all boys, all girls, including you and I. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the weak points. He knows just where he can gain an entrance and when he can gain an entrance. He has a most vigilant eye upon us all. You mentioned Job, says Satan to the Almighty. Verse 9. Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath, on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Verse 4 of chapter 2. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So Satan was given license by God to attack in every possible manner this man Job. Only upon his life was there a restriction put. Think of it. Beloved, when adverse circumstances cross our pathway, when trouble comes, and we have a most difficult lap of the journey to traverse, we little know what has gone on in heaven. We little know. There are two great powers Job little knew. Think of the tragedy which befell him. Why? Because of a conference which had gone on above between God and Satan. In order to test this man and to try him, God allowed Satan this tremendous power. When trial and difficulties come upon us, we need to face them in a scriptural light and in a spiritual manner. And unless we're instructed in the activity of the devil, we won't. We won't. Satan was given license by God to attack in every possible manner, and it was only upon the man's life that there was a restriction put. And we know the lengths to which the adversary went, and the appalling seeming tragedies and sorrows which were brought upon this dear man. And in it, he came through unscathed as far as his faith was concerned. But the point I want to make is the enormous power which this monster has, if God allows him. So far from proving that Satan's power is minimal and greatly restricted, the book of Job reveals probably as no other the awfulness of his oppression in this world. Oh, it is amazing to me that so many Christians are so ill-informed on this most vital subject of Satan. And more amazing still, that many do not want to know. It is regarded as a most unpleasant doctrine of the Word of God. Now, I like optimism, but not if it is at the expense of truth. There is no book more optimistic than the Bible, and neither is there any book more pessimistic than the Bible. That may appear a paradox, but it's not. In the Bible, we have shadows which are as dark as midnight, but we have light which is as the noonday glare. This book which we have in our hands is a book of opposites. It's a book of extremes. Heaven, hell, life, death, God, Satan. And this is its never-ending theme from Genesis to Revelation. It is blessing and cursing. There is nothing so tragic, I feel, nothing so tragic in our society as the unwillingness of men to face the real facts of life and of death, which the Bible sets forth. The average man and woman is taken up entirely with material things. They talk of advancement. They talk of progress. They talk of a better quality of life. The transformation which science has produced and all the rest of the drivel which pours out from the halls of philosophy and politics. But are these things factual? Will they really stand up? When calmly considered in the light of fact and how things really are, is it not a delusion? just to take an everyday illustration. Almost every week, we hear such statements as, inflation has bottomed out. The recession has reached its limits. And so on. House prices are beginning to rise again. Is it so? The reasoning which I have just outlined is described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 2 as the course of this world. Now you've read it, you've quoted it, maybe hundreds of times. What did you understand by it, friend? The course of this world. Perhaps you never even stop to think. This is how we read the Word of God, sadly, and I'm guilty of it. The course of this world. Never stop to analyze it. And the course of this world is governed by the prince of the power of the air. It is the blinding influence of Satan which causes men and women to be so short-sighted and so think that everything's progressing favorably when it is not. Quite the reverse is the case. Yet men cannot see it. Men will believe the devil's lie, but they will not accept God's truth. Let me go back to Eden again. For there it was that this darkness set in as far as the human race is concerned. This darkness set in as far as the human race is concerned back in Eden. When Satan came into the garden of God and approached our first parents, his tactics were the promise of greater power and glory than they then possessed. And he successfully infused into their hearts the principle of advancement through the motivation of their own wills, though it be in defiance of the Word of God. And that principle has forever since been in the heart of man. That is the course of this world. Satan put the human race on that course. But immediately this happened in Eden, man was plunged from a position of God-centeredness into a position of man-centeredness. He was no longer spiritual. He had become fleshly. In biblical language, he had now become dead in trespasses and in sins. He was now cut off from God. Let me give you a simple illustration. Take an electric light bulb. It's a common everyday thing. It's switched on. The current is active. That bulb is vitally connected to the source of power. Vitally connected to the source of power. And all we can see is the light which issues from the bulb. But suddenly, from behind the scenes, the power is cut. The bulb immediately becomes dark. And all we can see is the cold, fragile wires within that bulb. Wires which are now dead. This is what happened in Eden. From a spiritual creature in vital contact with God, he was cut off and he became a fragile creature of darkness. Fleshly. and man are self-centered. This is nothing more, beloved, this is nothing more or less than the self-same principle which motivated the anointed cherub in the heavens. I will be as the Most High. Self asserting itself to attain unto a greater position than was assigned him. In Eden, his promise to Eve was, ye shall be as gods. And self-gratification and advancement motivated them. And they succumbed to the devil's lie. Yet men cannot see their folly. They cannot see their folly. Why? Because the light has gone out. They're cut off. They are cut off from God. They are in darkness. Yet they are so deluded and so deceived by this fallen light bearer, very important, so deluded and deceived by this fallen light bearer who masquerades as an angel of light, that man thinks he is all right. This, I say again, is the course of this world. It is according to the prince of the power of the air. It is exactly the same pattern as the fall of Lucifer. To be as gods. This is the same spirit, says the scripture. This is the same spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Can you not see this, friends? Evil follows the same pattern as its origin. So having, I trust, established this affinity, does it not make sense, as we see the nations of earth in a frantic scramble for more power? The children of men consumed with a passion for progress and advancement? It is because Satan is ever fanning the passions. The passions of greed, more wealth, more show, more pleasure, more affluence. In a word, self or man-centeredness. And this is what the Bible means when it says that the unregenerate walk according to the prince of the power of the air. That's their course. According to the prince of the power of the air. The same pattern has brought the downfall of that light bearer. This is what the apostle meant by saying that Satan is the god of this world. This is what Christ meant by saying that the devil is the prince of this world. He's the enemy we've got to watch. And this is what is meant by that amazing affirmation in Holy Writ, that the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Here I break off again. A most sobering an awesome subject. May it be used of God to our edification for his glory. Amen. Hymn number 880. A lovely hymn to close our corporate worship today. 880. Ere I sleep, for every favor this day showed by my God, I will bless my Savior. 880.
Ere I sleep, for every favor this
Gracious God, in view of all that we have seen from the scriptures this evening, how the truth of that psalm with which we broke the silence of our worship this evening becomes the more important to us, that our eyes ever be up onto the hills, for there alone can come our help to save us from the snares of this mighty monster who goeth to and fro in the earth. We have just expressed, be thou our rock, our guard, our tower. Safely keep us, O God, until we rise with the wise, counted amongst that number of the election of grace. Oh, keep us safe, O God, in the treacherous wilderness in which we have to traverse. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. So dismiss us with thy blessing. Watch over us all in the coming days. Take all of us to our homes in safety and in quiet, sober, solemn meditation upon these awesome facts revealed to us in the scriptures. Now we ascribe unto the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen nor can see. Oh, to him be honor and power everlasting. Amen and amen.